Let's read together Psalms 117 and 118. Psalm 117 is well known as the shortest psalm, and Psalm 118 is well known as one of the messianic psalms. Let's begin by reading Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 117. Psalm 117 is not only the shortest psalm, it is the shortest chapter in the Bible. So if you are ever challenged to memorize a whole chapter in the Bible, and you want to do it quickly, Psalm 117 is what you're looking for. Another unique feature of Psalm 117 is that Psalm 117 is the central chapter of the whole English Bible. There are 594 chapters before Psalm 117, and there are 594 chapters after Psalm 117. Now remember, the chapter divisions in the Bible are not part of the divine inspiration of Scripture. But it is an interesting fact that Psalm 117 is the central chapter of the English Bible. Let's move now to our doctrinal point for Psalm 117. God's loving kindness extends to all people. God's loving kindness extends to all people. If anyone ever says to you that in the Old Testament God only cared for the Jewish people, turn them to Psalm 117. Here we see that God's loving kindness, or merciful kindness, extends to all nations and peoples. This Hebrew word for loving kindness implies God's steadfast and loyal and covenanted love. God's love for Gentiles did not begin after Israel rejected her Messiah. No, all peoples have been in God's eternal plans. This is the Apostle Paul's argument in Romans chapter 15, verse 11, where he quotes verse 1 of Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. In fact, in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, we see that the company of the redeemed in heaven will include believers from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. I'm reading Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And God will never change his mind, because what he has declared as true is eternal. Verse 2 of Psalm 117. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. God's loving kindness extends to all people. Let's continue reading the first four verses of Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. Let's consider some background notes for Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is a psalm of happy and triumphal thanksgiving. It was sung by worshipers coming into the temple area in the holy days to give praise to the Lord. Look at verses 19 through 21. Let's read these verses. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The gates here are the temple gates. Now, certainly an extended spiritual application of verse 20 could be made to Christ as the only gate and door for salvation. We see in verses 1 through 4, the verses that we read, that all Israel is called on to thank the Lord for his loving kindness, that is, his steadfast and loyal love. The house of Aaron in verse 3 would be the priests, of course. All those who fear the Lord, that is, honor him and revere his name, and that includes us as believers today, should praise the Lord for his everlasting, steadfast, and loyal love. In verses 5 through 9, we see the Lord is praised for the deliverance he brought sometime in the past, so that now there is great confidence for any attack or affliction or oppression or problem in the future. Let's read these verses, verses 5 through 9. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Do we have that same confident trust in the Lord? Look at verse 6 once again. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know, this verse is quoted in Hebrews chapter 13 as a reminder of how a believer should be living the Christian life. In verses 10 through 13 of Psalm 118, the psalmist refers to a time or times of deliverance when the nation surrounding Israel, like hovering bees, were cut off like a fire of thorns. That is very quickly. Let's read these verses, verses 10 through 13. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Now, one such rout of the enemy did take place when the Assyrians and their allies surrounded Jerusalem at the time of King Hezekiah. In one night, God cut off 185,000 Assyrian troops. Read 2 Kings chapter 19 in this connection, one of the great miracles in the Old Testament. Verse 14 of Psalm 118 is the same expression that we have in Exodus chapter 15, verse 2, in the victory song of the children of Israel when they crossed the Red Sea. Verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Not only verse 14, but this whole psalm will be the song of redeemed Israel when the Lord returns and delivers them from all of their enemies at the end of the future tribulation period. And from the structure of this psalm, it looks like it was sung and will be sung antiphonally, that is, by two alternating groups of singers. Now, we mentioned in our talk for Psalm 113 that Psalms 113 through 118 are a collection of psalms called the Hallel, or hymns of praise, that were sung at the great feasts and holy days in Israel. At the Feast of Passover, it was traditional to sing Psalms 113 and 114 before the Passover Supper and Psalms 115 through Psalms 118 after the Passover Supper. In fact, it was probably Psalm 118 that the Lord and his disciples sang right before they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where the Lord would be arrested. See Matthew chapter 26, verse 30 in this connection. Now, as we read verses 15 through 18, think of how these verses must have been a comfort to the Lord as he faced the cross. Verses 15 through 18. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. The chastening here, in reference to the Lord, of course, was for our sakes. The Lord, of course, would die on the cross, but not stay dead for long. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 118. God's loving kindness includes the triumphal entry. God's loving kindness includes the triumphal entry. Verses 22 through 26. Psalm 118, beginning now with verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. We know that Psalm 118 is a messianic psalm because the Lord quoted verses 22 and 23 in Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, and said that the stone which the builders rejected and had become the chief cornerstone referred to himself. The apostles Peter and Paul also apply this scripture to Christ. As builders often reject a stone because it doesn't seem to fit their building plan, so the Lord was rejected by the religious leaders of Israel because he did not fit in place with their wrong building plans for the nation. But the rejected stone became the cornerstone or capstone or keystone in God's building plans for the nation as well as for the world. So when the crowds quoted verses 25 and 26 at the triumphal entry of the Lord into Jerusalem, they were quoting from this psalm in context. But because the Lord was rejected, this part of the psalm was not fulfilled at the first triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. However, it will be fulfilled when the Lord returns. When the Lord wept over Jerusalem because they had rejected their Messiah, he said in Matthew chapter 23, verses 38 and 39, "See, your house is left to you desolate, for I say to you, you shall see me no more, till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." A quote from Psalm 118. That time will come when restored Israel will rejoice and thank the Lord that he has given them light. Verses 27 through 29 of Psalm 118. Let's read these verses. "God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." This messianic psalm will be completely fulfilled when the Lord returns in triumph. God's loving kindness includes the triumphal entry. And now for practical application for Psalm 118. Think context when you sing. Think context when you sing. Now, how many know the chorus, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it"? It comes right from Psalm 118, verse 24. "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." But have you sung this chorus in context? Not if you're singing it because it's a great day for hiking or skiing. And not if you're joyfully singing it on a rainy, dismal day because, after all, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The day here, in context, as we've seen, is the day the Lord returns in triumph. What a great day that will be. The once rejected Messiah returning to this earth in triumph. That's what we should be thinking about when we sing, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Now, I'm not saying don't sing this chorus on a beautiful day, etc., etc., but try to think context when you sing.